Welcome to People Power and Politics, hard talk, riveting interviews, community updates, in-depth analysis. That's People Power and Politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.
A very warm welcome to everyone. We are joined by a very, very special guest, Mr. Tom Suozzi, who is the Democratic candidate for governor of New York. Welcome, sir. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Pearl, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. So, who is Tom Suozzi? Why are you running for governor of New York? And what do you mean when you say you are a common sense Democrat?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I'm a first generation American. My father was born in Italy. My mother was Irish and English. I'm the youngest of five children. And I was trained as a CPA and attorney. I was the mayor of my hometown, a little small city of Glen Cove, for 8 years. I was the county executive of Nassau County for 8 years. I've been in Congress for the past 5.5 years. And I'm running for governor because I'm just kind of fed up with the way things are going. I see so many people leaving New York State because they can't afford to live here. They're worried about the crime that takes place. And I'm worried about my own party, the Democratic Party. You asked, why am I a common sense Democrat? Because I'm sick of the far left. I'm sick of the crazy right. I want people to just work together to try and solve problems and help the people. And right now, the people are concerned about crime, and they're concerned about not being able to afford to live here.
Okay, so you mentioned two issues, crime and not being able to live in New York. What other issues do you believe are the top concerns for the people of New York, and what is your vision as the next governor to address those concerns?
Well, the most immediate concern is crime. I wish it wasn't, but it's something we have to tackle because people are afraid right now. Mm-hmm. As Eric Adams said in his campaign, public safety is the prerequisite to prosperity. You can't address any of the other problems until people feel safe. People are afraid to take the subway right now. People are afraid to go in certain neighborhoods. I've been to vigils where people have been shot. Young kids have been shot. I've been to neighborhoods where people are afraid. They lock their doors of their businesses because they're afraid people are going to rob them. So we have to address this problem urgently. I've laid out a 15-point crime intervention and prevention plan. Intervention, what we need to do right away to make people feel safe, and prevention, long-term issues to fix the systemic problems in our society, mainly related to education. Second is affordability. We have to reduce the taxes. People can't afford to live here. The utility rates are going up fast. There was an article I read today that we have the third fastest rising utility rates in the country, and people are already having a hard time being able to afford to live here. And something I'm most passionate about is our schools. You know, we have so many great schools in New York where kids do great, but we have some of the most troubled schools in the country as well. And we have to change the way we think about our schools. And we need to bring all of our health and human service agencies, every social services, health, mental health, veterans, seniors, youth, physically challenged, drug and alcohol program that are outside in the world in not-for-profits and federally funded, state-funded, locally funded programs, and bring them into our schools. That's where the kids need help. As Desmond Tutu said, we spent a lifetime pulling people out of the river. We need to go upstream and stop them from falling in the river in the first place. And I know how to run government. I'm a proven executive who gets things done, and I have the heart to help the people. Combine a good heart with the ability to fix things, and we can help a lot of people.
Okay, so you mentioned New York's educational system, the school system, and it is in a crisis, and that was before the pandemic. New York has the dubious distinction of being the most segregated school system in the country, and our black and brown children are suffering. How do you plan to address this as the next governor, and do you think the educational system should be under mayoral control?
I absolutely believe in mayoral control. I pushed for it before it even happened, and we certainly have to give Mayor Adams a chance to implement the ideas that he has. I'm so frustrated where he's trying to get things done in Albany under the current governor and the state legislature regarding crime, where they're not helping him and where they're holding mayoral control over his head and won't just give it to him because he needs that in order to succeed. I'm focused very, very much on this idea of bringing in health and human service programs into our schools. We already have the highest taxes in the United States of America, the highest state and local taxes, and our results do not reflect that whatsoever. It's not just about more money. It's about changing our mindset. Every politician since I've been involved, and that's almost 30 years, has said it's better to educate a child instead of paying for a jail cell. Well, how come it doesn't happen? Mm-hmm. We have to take all the existing programs we have, billions and billions of dollars of government money and private money, and help children at a young age. If you look at third grade test scores in the good school districts and the at-risk school districts, they're not that different in third grade. But by eighth grade, the kids in the good school districts are skyrocketing. The kids in the at-risk school districts have fallen off the face of the earth. The teachers cannot handle the volume of problems in at-risk school districts. It's just too much volume of problems. They need support from the outside, from health and human service agencies, social workers, to come in and say, listen, this kid had such a bright, promising future. Something's wrong. They're getting in fights. They're being disrespectful. They're falling asleep in class. They're hungry, whatever it may be. Can you help us figure out what's going on? Take that personal one-on-one attention with that child and help navigate the bureaucracy where the existing resources are there. They're just waiting out there for somebody to show up at the window when they're an adult and it's too late and they're showing up for a check. Solve the problem at a young age before they become big problems later on, because 75% of the people in jail have a drug, alcohol, or mental health problem. 50% of the people at Rikers Island have a learning disability. You solve the problems for kids at young ages, all of society will be better. Poverty, crime, homelessness, domestic violence, all societal dysfunction can be addressed if you help children at a young age.
That reminds me of a saying, which is actually gender neutral, that it's better to build boys than to repair men.
Absolutely right. So, it's the exact same idea.
Okay.
We have to focus on more on prevention, more on, and that takes a while. You know, it takes a while to implement these changes in our systems. So in the meanwhile, we have to make people feel safe right now. And that means we have to give judges the discretion to consider dangerousness when people come before them. All the things that the Mayor Adams is talking, you know, I supported Mayor Adams very early on in his race. I endorsed him very early as a member of Congress. I represent a piece of Queens. And he asked me to serve as his deputy mayor. I said, I'm not going to be your deputy mayor. I'm running for governor. I can do a lot more to help you as governor than I can as your deputy mayor.
So is he going to be endorsing you for governor?
Probably not. Because he's trying to get things in from Albany. And if he does that, they'll try and take it out on him.
But if he gets you in there, you're going to help him get those things, right?
I just need him to stay out of the race right now, which is what he's done so far.
Okay,
and
all right.
And, you know, behind the scenes, hopefully he'll talk to his friends.
Okay, all right, great. So let's look at, you know, you mentioned before gun violence and crime and people being scared. And bail reform, it has been a hot button issue. So what exactly does bail reform mean to you, and how do you plan to address bail reform to ensure fairness and hope for the minority communities?
We have to give judges the discretion to consider dangerousness the way you can in 49 other states in America, the way the federal government can as well. Cash bail itself, which we got rid of, is not fair. When I was the county executive in Nassau County, I ran the 12th largest police department in the country. When I left, we had the lowest crime rate in the country for any community over 500,000 people. I ran a corrections facility as well. It was under a federal monitor before I got there. I cleaned it up. But I saw people get arrested for low-level crimes and get a bail for $300 or $200 or $100 or $500, and one person could pay their bail right away, and the other person couldn't pay their bail, and they would have to languish in jail. We actually had private sector people raise money to pay that bail for these low-level offenses, because it's not fair that because you can't pay a bail, especially for a low-level offense, that you have to sit there in jail awaiting your trial. That's not a fair system. But when they changed the system in other states, they said, okay, we're going to give judges the discretion to consider dangerousness. What previous crimes has this person committed? How many times have they been in and out of jail? Is there something else going on that makes this person a danger to society? We have to give judges that power. Now, if people are concerned that the judges will abuse their power and pick on black and brown people, or if they're even the same thing with law enforcement, concerned that they'll pick on black and brown people, which we have seen in our society for a long time. Hopefully it's getting better, and it will continue to get better with this mayor, and it certainly will with me as governor, is we have to set up systems to monitor the activity of judges and police officers using statistics. So Martin Luther King used to say, you can't legislate morality, but you can regulate behavior. So you can't get rid of, you know, some of the bad actors that are in society. You can try and fix it, but monitor what they're doing. Is this judge putting more people in jail because they're black and brown? Is this judge giving a higher sentence for black and brown people? Is this police officer using force more often in this particular neighborhood than they are in that neighborhood? Are they doing something that's out of the normal with what the statistics are? Use the data that we have available to us to monitor the behavior of law enforcement, of the judiciary. That's only fair. And then correct those people that we think are breaking the rules.
Okay, great. So New York is a state which welcomes immigrants from all over the world, with immigrants still feeling the effects of the Trump administration and our current governor, who has a history of wanting to work with ICE to deport immigrants. What can immigrants expect from a Swazi administration?
Well, let's not gloss over that, okay? The current governor, Kathy Hochul, when she was the Erie County clerk, said that she would report undocumented people to ICE if they came before her to try and get a driver's license. She's singing a different tune now, but the same as that issue, same as she was endorsed by the NRA, the same as that she had a 50% rating from the League of Conservation Voters, that's what she was before. Now she's changed dramatically, and she supported Brian Benjamin for defund the police, endorsed a socialist over in Queens, and on and on and on. So I don't know what she really stands for. But as far as Tom Suozzi goes, as far as I go, I'm a first-generation American. My father was born in Italy. People don't remember it, but he suffered tremendous discrimination because Mussolini had teamed up with Hitler during World War II, and everybody looked at the Italians and said, oh, you're either in the mafia or you're a fascist. And even though he went to law school, he couldn't get a job at a law firm because nobody trusted the Italians back in those days. My father was the best man I ever knew. And my father taught us all, and my mother, that you can't discriminate against anybody. And when I was the mayor of Glen Cove, the young mayor of Glen Cove, I was 31 years old, my first day when I was getting inaugurated, in my speech, I talked about the newcomers from Central and South America. And I said, America is founded on the principle that all men and women are created equal. It's not that all men and women with a green card are created equal, or all men and women with a passport are created equal, or all men and women who speak a certain language or a certain color or a certain religion are created equal. All human beings have a divine spark in them, and we need to treat everybody with human respect and dignity. And I created the first day worker shape-up center anywhere on the East Coast of the United States of America in 1994. And when I was county executive in Nassau County, I kicked ICE out of doing business in Nassau County. I wouldn't let my police department work with them because I saw how they were abusing their power. And I was the person of the year for the New York Immigration Coalition here in New York City for the work that I did. So I will always look out for everybody, quite frankly. I don't care what your background is, that people are treated with respect and dignity. But I certainly have a soft spot in my heart for immigrants, because immigrants are what made this country, what made this state, and what will continue to bring the vitality and energy that this country and this state need.
And I thank you for saying that. So looking also at the governor, we know that she appointed Brian Benjamin as her lieutenant governor, and we all know that situation. What are your overall thoughts on her leadership accomplishments or lack thereof? The recent budget, has she failed New Yorkers, met or exceeded expectations?
She is failing. And that's not just me saying that. Look at the recent Siena poll. It said that 68% of New Yorkers believe that she's failing on the issue of crime. 91% of New Yorkers say that crime is a serious or very serious issue. 68% say that she's failing on crime. 63% don't like the Buffalo Bills stadium deal that she proposed. It's terrible.
The gift.
It's a gift to her friends. I mean, the most generous taxpayer giveaway in the history of the NFL. We're all for the Buffalo Bills, but we didn't have to do a deal like this, especially when she unveiled it 4 days before the budget was due and she rammed it through. So I talk about the four B's, okay? You brought up Brian Benjamin. That's number one B. Number two is bail reform. She's not doing anything to address the crime problem in New York. 68% of New Yorkers say that she's failing on crime. Number three, the budget. She loaded up this budget with all kinds of pork, all kinds of money to try and get political advantage, and it's going to hurt us as far as inflation. It's going to hurt us as far as if there's ever a downturn in the economy. It's going to hurt us for the long term. We already have the highest taxes in America. And the Buffalo Bills, the four B's. Kathy Hochul's four B's. And you know what we really have to be concerned? I'm a Democrat. I'm a lifelong Democrat. And what Democrats have to be concerned about is that Kathy Hochul, if she's the nominee, she could lose to a Republican in New York State. And these days, the guys who are running for Republican, running as Republicans in New York State are all big Trump supporters. And we can't let Trump get a toehold back in New York again. So 45% of New Yorkers in the CNN poll said they would not vote for Kathy Hochul for governor, and only 40% said that they would. That's a bad place to be in May of 2022. So if you want to win, if you want the Democrats to win, Tom Suozzi is your candidate. Tom Suozzi, the proven executive who's got experience getting things done in government, the common sense Democrat who's not going to pander to the left, not going to back down to the right, who's going to work together with people to help people. And number three, very clear on the issues he's going to focus on: crime, taxes and affordability, helping our kids in our troubled schools, and of course, going after our corruption. Let me just say this one thing, if I can, Ms. Pearl. New York State was rated the most corrupt state in the United States of America by the Washington Post last August. Kathy Hochul came in August. She said, I'm going to clean things up. I'm going to be the most transparent, the most ethical governor ever. Well, when you look at the four B's, Brian Benjamin, the Buffalo Bills, the bloated budget, the failure to do bail reform, she's not doing that. People up in Albany said they've been there for 30 years, said they've never seen a more secretive process for the budget process in their life that they've been up there. So we just see these machinations all the time with the redistricting lines, with the kicking Brian Benjamin off the ballot and putting somebody else on in the last minute, 50 days away from the election. It's just it's the same old thing. Politics doesn't work unless there's competition. And we don't have competition in New York State. It's all an insider's game. And when it's an insider's game, you end up with the highest taxes in America. You end up with a rising crime rate. You end up with people leaving New York State in big numbers. Everybody who's listening to this call knows somebody who says, should I move to Florida? Should I move to South Carolina? Should I move to North Carolina? Should I go somewhere else? I can't afford it here anymore. Everybody who's listening to your show knows somebody who said that.
Okay, so, you know, this is People Power and Politics, and we have to talk about the former governor, Andrew Cuomo, who is looking, and a recent poll shows that he can still be a viable candidate. What are your thoughts?
I don't think that he could win. He definitely can't run as a Democratic candidate because he didn't do the petitions on time, so the time has passed. Mm-hmm. And for him to run as an independent, he would have to start doing the petitions now, and there's no sign that he's doing that. I think that most people in politics have an A-type personality, and they always feel like, I got to do something. In this case, he should probably just do nothing and lay back and then see if he can come back in the future. He can't do anything right now. So I've got a lot of similar views that he does on issues, but I don't have the baggage that he does. I don't have the problems that he does. So if you like his idea of addressing the problems that we face, well, then I'm the best candidate that aligns with those views without all the messy stuff that he got involved in.
Okay, great. So let's just talk a little bit quickly about New York's healthcare system, which is failing minorities. We have the highest incidence of diseases and receive less than the best healthcare. And the COVID pandemic highlights these disparities. As governor, what are your plans to address this inequity?
You know, every politician says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I've been doing this stuff my whole life. I have a record. Mm-hmm. And I put people in positions of power that look like the people I represent. So, you know, my commissioner of health was a Latina. My commissioner of mental health was a Latina. My deputy commissioner of health was an African-American woman. We set up a healthcare disparities task force. And the main causes for premature death are smoking, poor diet, and lack of exercise. We need to do a better job with cultural competency, where we're talking to people in ways that they understand. And we have to have people that understand the different communities to provide the services that they need. You could have a black person and a white person with the exact same income, the exact same health insurance, and the exact same diagnosis, and the health outcomes will be better for the white person than the black person. That's a problem in our society that's very real. Mm-hmm. And we need cultural competency. One of the things I want to do as governor is I want to encourage young people in black and brown communities to become doctors, to become healthcare professionals, and provide them with scholarships so they don't get saddled with student debt. But we need more members of healthcare professions, as well as all kinds of positions of authority and power and professions that look like the people that they're trying to help. And to do that, you can't just make a speech. You can't just pass a law. You have to have people who have the heart to do this stuff and the ability to actually run these programs. That's what I'm offering to the people of New York State. I'm trained as a CPA and attorney. I was a mayor. I was a county executive. I'm a member of Congress. I've done these things. I know how to run government. I know how to get things done. And I have a heart to help the people, to solve the problems we've been dealing with for generations that must be addressed finally.
Okay, so Mr. Swazi, how can one get more information and support your campaign?
You can go to our website, Swazi, S-U-O-Z-Z-I. Actually, my father had a campaign song. Swazi, S-U-O-Z-Z-I, Swazi, a Democratic guy. Anyway, Swazi for NY. Swazi for NY. You can find out all about me. Well, you can't find out everything about me there. But if you want to find out more about me, you got to ask me some questions about when I lived in Trinidad and Tobago.
So tell us about that. Tell us about your Caribbean experience.
So when I was a young man, I lived in Trinidad and Tobago for 3 months. I was auditing the Texaco refinery. Mm-hmm. And I lived in a place called Point of Pierre. I used to go to church over in San Fernando in Marabella. And I learned a lot. We traveled around all the different islands. I ate a lot of callaloo soup and a lot of dashin and roti. And they used to sing songs that you probably know.
You want to tell me what kind of songs you heard?
Tiny whiny, whine your boom boom. You know that one or not?
I'm not going to ask you to show me how to dance it.
Whine, Miss Tiny. Roll up, Miss Tiny. I better not lose votes because of my singing.
I think you just got some more votes because of your singing.
I'm happily married to my wonderful wife, Helene, for 29 years. We have three beautiful children, Caroline, Joseph, and Michael. I'll bring up Joseph on the show because he's playing for the Brooklyn Cyclones right now. And but when I was younger, I had a girlfriend from Jamaica who used to teach at Immaculate Conception High School on Constant Spring Road. And I used to travel around the Caribbean to a lot of different places. I had a great time. That was a long time ago. I hope my wife's not listening.
We understand, Sue. So, sir, you made a bold statement and declared, I will win this race. So finish this sentence for me. My name is Tom Swazi, and I'm running to be your next governor. I am your only choice on June the 20th because?
Because I'm the one who will fight for you. I'll fight for the people. Right now, our politics in New York and really in our country is too much of an insider's game. And democracy's purpose is to have your elected officials fight for what the people care about. And right now, we're not doing that. People care about crime. People care about taxes and affordability. People are worried about our kids and our schools, and they're sick and tired of the corruption in New York State. I will fight for those issues to make sure that I'm looking out for your needs and your family's needs. And I'm not just saying that. I've got a lifetime of experience doing that, fighting for the people. I can do it because I've done it. I will fight for you and your families and try and make things better as a proven executive, a common sense Democrat, and somebody who gets things done for the people.
And someone who can sing Tiny Whiny.
Tiny Whiny. I'm losing my voice from campaigning so much.
All right. But thank you so much, sir. It was such a pleasure. And we look forward to having you back again.
Thank you. I want to come back again. Thank you, Miss Pearl.
You're very welcome.
People power in politics. Hard talk. Riveting interviews. Community updates. In-depth analysis. That's people power in politics. We tell it to you as it is. No holds barred. You are the people. You have the power. We bring you the politics. To listen to our show, be a guest, or to advertise, visit www.pppradio.nyc. That's www.pppradio.nyc.